If you turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 7. Exodus chapter number 7. And so we're continuing our series from Egypt to the Promised Land. And we've been looking at Moses' call to lead Israel out of Egypt. At first he was hesitant, and then he got a little bit excited about it. It seems like whenever he was given the signs and the miracles and everything, and the people of Israel got on board with it, he's like, okay, this is going to work. And then he went before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said no. And then he was a bit discouraged. But it was necessary for him to be willing to go. I believe it was mandatory that he knew he wasn't going by his power or even by the power of the people of Israel. He had to know that it was by God's power. So last week we looked at when God told Moses what he was going to do. He says, I will, and then he gave him a bunch of things that he was going to do. And the dependence and the expectation had to be on God. He had to know that God was the one working these things out.
Yeah.
Okay. And so first, God said that he would prove himself. When they stepped out in faith, through what God was going to do through the people of Israel and through all these miracles and signs and wonders that he was going to do, not only would Israel know who he was, but the world would know who he was. Okay, God says, I'm going to prove myself. It just takes you putting me to the test.
Right.
So whenever we step out in faith, God proves himself to us, and then he gives us something of substance that we can step on, that we can take the next step, mm-hmm. right? And that's just kind of that path that he gives us, one step at a time. He proves himself so we can take the next step. Just keeps putting a little bit of ground under our feet. Then we saw that God will change your life. He changes your relation. He's going to make you his child, right? He changes our condition. He's going to cleanse you and make you a vessel fit for his service. And he also changes your destination. And I believe he changes where you're going, both down here and in eternity.
Yeah.
Okay. And we said that God will use you to affect others.
Mm-hmm.
Like Israel, your life can encourage believers. It can draw the lost to him. And it can also change future generations. Because of what you're doing now, it's going to have an impact on those that come after you, on your children and your children's children.
Yeah.
Okay. And then lastly, God wills that you trust him every day and in all things. The Bible tells us without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Right.
And so we walk by faith, not by sight. We are saved through faith. We are transformed through faith. And the only way we can serve him is through faith. He wants mm-hmm. us to trust him. So we don't want to get caught up on what God would have us to do and forget that it'll only happen if we allow him to do it through us.
Right.
Okay. So the focus needs to be on him. Today we're going to find Moses back before Pharaoh. God has already convinced Moses, and now he has to convince Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Pharaoh has made his position clear. He might seem like he's a bit of a tough nut to crack, but he's no challenge to God. God knows
right.
what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he had his plan laid out from the beginning. He'd already told Moses what he was going to do. And in our passage today, Moses is going to come up against an obstacle that all of us face from time to time, probably pretty frequently. And so hopefully we can learn how to be sure not to trip over this hurdle that is before Moses and the children of Israel. Okay. So Exodus chapter 7, we're going to read the first 13 verses. Exodus chapter 7, it says, And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. Notice there, he told him ahead of time, you're going to go to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's not going to listen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's great whenever we know what to expect, right?
Yes.
And so verse number 5, And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon the children or upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. So we see a little bit of the reason behind this. People will get caught up on the idea that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, but he did it for a purpose.
Yes.
And he says, I'm going to do this so that they will know me and so that I can bring my people out of Egypt. I'm working on something here. So in verse 6, and Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. There you go. It's never too late to start serving the Lord, right? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, shew a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you once again today. Just thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we have to be in church. We thank you for your word that is before us. We thank you for the fellowship one with another, Lord, that we can encourage one another, edify one another. Lord, we just pray, Lord, ask you now that you would take your word, help us apply it to our lives to learn and grow from it. Give me clarity of mind and speech that I can say the things that you would have me to. And Lord, I just pray, ask you that you would draw us ever closer to you, Lord. Help us, Lord, just to follow after you and not be fooled by all of the imitations that Satan puts out before us. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And amen.
Amen.
Okay, so have you ever fell for a counterfeit? It's a question I want you to consider. Have you ever fell for a fake, a fraud, a phony?
Mm-hmm.
We probably all have, right? You've probably watched movies or TV shows where crooks made counterfeit money and tried to pass it off. Or maybe you bought a piece of jewelry that you thought was real. It's like, oh, I got such a good deal on this. And then you realize that it turned your finger green. Or you had someone look at it that knew what they were doing. And they're like, yeah, that's actually just a piece of glass. It's not really a diamond. It's easy to get took by a fake. If you go to a lot of tourist destinations, you're going to find that there are people trying to pass off fakes of things.
Yeah.
You ever have someone try to sell you a Rolex watch on the street? Yeah, that's not where they sell Rolexes at. More than likely, if there's a guy that's standing there with a bunch of watches up his arm or in a case, they're not Rolexes, and you're not going to buy one for 50 euro. It's not going to work that way. Or maybe they're trying to sell some kind of jewelry or sunglasses. I know it used to be. I don't know about now. It used to be Oakley sunglasses were big. I don't know if they even make those anymore. Anyone know? Maybe Ray-Bans, I don't know. Or fancy bags. You know, you're going and you get like a fancy purse or whatever, and it's like, oh, I got such a good deal on this. And someone looks at it like, you got took. How much did you pay for that? Yeah, it's not worth that. In the days of Temu and all of that, there are plenty of knockoffs out there, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I think it was back for Mother's Day. Les bought something for the Mother's Day gift. And it was supposed to be like this really pretty framed artwork,
yes.
This framed picture. And she's like, oh, this is beautiful. I'm going to get this. I'm going to put it in ladies' bags. You might realize, ladies, that you didn't get that. Because because whenever Les received it, it was a picture of a framed piece of art. It was just a print. I mean, it had like the frame printed on what was like some
Like plywood or something.
A little piece of wood or something. It had the frame printed on it. It's like, yeah, this is tacky. And so it was not what it had tried to promote itself as being. And so whenever you realize there are plenty of forgeries out there, how well do you do at spotting fakes? How well do you spot forgeries? If you don't know what you're doing, you can waste a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
Thankfully for the Temu thing, she tried to return it and they said, you just keep it. We didn't really want it back. So she still got her money back. But anyway, I figure we've all probably bought some knockoffs, whether we did it intentionally or not. Sometimes it's okay to buy a fake. And it's like, yeah, I don't want to pay the money for it, but I want the look of it, you know, the aesthetic or whatever. So you get the knockoff bag or the knockoff watch. I'll get a Rolex. It looks like one, but it doesn't keep time. Whenever Moses went before Pharaoh, God had given him a genuine miracle to perform before Pharaoh. And this was meant to be a sign to Pharaoh saying, I have actually been sent by God. I'm not going on my own power. I'm not going by my own strength, but God is actually in this thing. And so he had a legitimate miracle. And whenever he went, he was to throw his rod down. It was going to become a serpent.
Yeah.
Now, that'd be pretty impressive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to go throw his rod down. Is it going to become a serpent? But whenever he got there, he threw his rod down, became a serpent. And then Pharaoh brought in his magicians, his enchanters or whatever. And whether it was some kind of sleight of hand or it literally become a snake, they threw their rods down. They become a snake. And then Moses' rod ate their rods. Okay, I think that's funny. It's like God has a sense of humor. He's like, yeah, you can do the same thing, but I can do it better.
Right.
And that's the truth about all the imitations and the forgeries. They can imitate, but it's never as good as the original, right? But I wonder whenever Aaron took the rod back up, it became a rod again. You suppose it was any heavier after consuming theirs? These are the things I wonder. Anyway, if we continue reading, we find that Moses turns the water into blood. And then somewhere they find more water and then turn it into blood also. If they really wanted to prove themselves, it looks to me like they would have turned the blood back into water.
Right.
It's like, hey, you got a problem. We just made it bigger. Right?
Yeah.
Same thing with the frogs. They were able to bring more frogs.
Mm-hmm.
There were frogs everywhere. There were going to be frogs in their kneading troughs. There were going to be frogs in their ovens. There were going to be frogs in their beds. Mm-hmm. And Pharaoh brings in his magicians and they said, hey, but wait, there's more.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of bringing more frogs, they should have gotten rid of the frogs that were there. That would have made more sense to me.
Right.
But anyway, what was going on was they were trying to do the same thing that God did. They were imitating what was genuine and bringing up something that was fake and trying to pass it off as genuine. Okay? And each time that this happened, Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he refused to let the people of Israel go. It might sound like a far-fetched story, us thinking of, you know, a stick turning into a snake or water turning into blood or frogs coming forth in abundance like that. But these are legitimate things that actually happen. This is not just some kind of a fairy tale. These are real things that happen. And they actually reveal a very important truth to us. For everything that God has, Satan has a cheap knockoff.
Yes.
Satan has an imitation. He has a cheap substitute.
Right.
He has a counterfeit.
Yes.
And that's why we must beware of exciting and sensational things that captivate our attention, things that claim to be of God, because Satan is able to imitate the things of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, it says, "And no marvel that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." He's talking about those who are coming forth and presenting themselves as being of God and being something special. And he says, Corinthians, don't be surprised that there are false teachers. Don't be surprised that there are cheap counterfeits and knockoffs, because even Satan himself is able to present himself as being something that he's not. He's able to be fairly convincing. He's able to fool a lot of people because he can appear to be an angel of light when he's really Prince of Darkness. So we have to be aware that there are counterfeits. We have to be aware there are cheap knockoffs. And so we need to make sure that we're aware of them so that we're not deceived by them. You know, you end up getting took. You end up getting fooled. You end up maybe getting scammed. That's a good word for it, right? Mm-hmm. You ever fall for a scammer? How do you feel afterward?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I've been betrayed. I can't believe I was so stupid, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of internet scammers out there just trying to get your credit card information.
Mm-hmm.
I know my kids have found that out the hard way.
Yeah.
There are plenty of those things that's going on. And so whenever you get took, you are aggravated. You're upset. You're like, I can't believe I fell for it.
Mm-hmm.
But we fall for Satan's imitations and his scams all the time.
Right.
And so we have to be prepared for that. There are plenty of people who have went to a religious service and said, oh, the Holy Spirit was moving there because they had an emotional response to it.
Yeah.
Right? We've probably been there ourselves. And it's like, oh, it was so great. The Spirit was moving, but it just makes them happy, but it never makes them holy.
Right.
There's a problem there, right?
Yeah.
If it gets to your emotions and it gets you to your feet, but it never actually changes your heart and draws you closer to God, it probably isn't of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to work up people's emotions, you know that?
Oh, yeah.
It's really easy to get people caught up in the moment. And you see these things, they're like, oh, this was such a great church service. But people leave and they're just as bound and just as troubled as they were when they came in.
Yeah.
There's a problem with that.
Right.
They fell for one of Satan's cheap substitutes.
Right.
Because if, as I said, the spirit that you're following is able to make you shout and dance and leap and run around, but it's not able to give you power to overcome the sin in your life, it's probably not the Spirit of God. There's different priorities there. There's all kinds of nonsense that goes around calling itself Christian and calling itself church. I think the devil loves religion. That's why he's made so much of it. He doesn't care what religion you're a part of, as long as it's not the true one. And one of the greatest ways that he uses to keep people away from God is to put so many cheap knockoffs that people can't find the truth.
Right.
I've talked to plenty of people that said, how do you know which one's the right one? How can you be sure? Why is there so much religion out there? Because the counterfeits distract you from the genuine.
Yes.
Flood the market with things that aren't real and you can't pick the real one out.
Yeah.
You understand the illustration there?
Yes.
And so he imitates what's real, so people will go with what's fake.
Mm-hmm.
It's also in other areas besides religion. God gave marriage as a holy and essential union, right? He put this as being a foundational thing, as being one of the building blocks of society, of everything that he created. And he says, okay, it is essential. It's not good for a man to be alone. I'll create a helpmeet for him. They'll come together. They'll be one flesh, and they will be able to work together to fulfill their purpose in my creation. But we have a cheap knockoff today.
Yeah.
Marriage is no longer an essential and holy union. It is now an optional legal contract.
Yeah.
Right? And so people come together, if they want to, bind together in the eyes of man, and then whenever they get sick of it, break the contract and run off.
Yeah.
It's no longer a holy union. It's no longer what God hath put together, let no man put us under. It is now, hey, we're going to try this out. It's got some tax benefits. Right?
Yeah.
If it doesn't work out, you go your way, I'll go mine. We'll try to keep our own stuff. We got a cheap knockoff. God's given us a purpose. We're meant to know God and we're meant to glorify him.
Yeah.
The world offers us a different purpose. Pursue pleasure, stuff, right?
Yeah.
Live for yourself. No higher purpose than to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Yeah.
In many areas, God's provided us with things that are good, things that are going to be fulfilling, things that are going to have eternal value. And then the world and the devil brings us a cheap counterfeit and says, yeah, God gives you this, but we've got this to offer as well.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of cheap alternatives and imitations. And why are they such a problem for us? Why are they so dangerous? Well, it's because they are appealing.
Yeah.
There is an appeal to these imitations. Imitations have to be attractive or they wouldn't have any power. No one would fall for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's always been the illustration that was offered up that Satan always packages sin in beautiful wrapping and presents it as being something wonderful. And if you realize what it was going to cost you, you never bite on it, right? It's the way it goes with all of his imitations. It promises a lot and delivers little.
Mm-hmm.
You ever fall for a scam or someone trying to sell you something and they told you how great it was, how necessary it was, and how much better it was going to make your life, and then you got it, and it's like, yeah, none of those things were true. It's the way the devil's imitations are. But they do have that appeal. And so what kind of things make these imitations attractive to us? Well, a lot of times it's our prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
Our prejudice. And now, don't get me wrong, a lot of times we link prejudice just simply with like ethnicity and skin colors and that kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Racism. And we see that as being prejudice, right?
Yeah.
No, prejudice is whenever you have a preconceived idea. It's whenever you have a default position on something,
mm-hmm.
okay? When you have already prejudged something,
right.
Prejudice. And so whenever Moses came to Pharaoh, Pharaoh already knew what he wanted to do.
Right.
He already had in mind how he wanted things to go. He had a starting position. He had one direction, and he did not want to deviate from it.
Right.
Very few people come at anything from a neutral position.
Right.
They have a prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
They have a certain way they want things to go. And so Pharaoh wasn't wanting to listen to God. He wasn't wanting to do what God had said to do. And so he was willing to listen to anything that would give him an out.
Right.
He says, this is what I want to do. Now I'm looking for something that will allow me to do that. We have a prejudice. It was merely an excuse to do what he already wanted to do. And I think we all have prejudices. We favor certain positions and conditions, right? Mm-hmm. We have, I've often equated it to this, we have a script for our life. We have a way that we want things to go. And we start grasping for things that we think are going to fulfill that.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes us susceptible to Satan's imitations.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. We're more likely to accept a counterfeit that fits our picture that we have in our head rather than the one that God puts before us. God says, here, this is what I want you to do. You say, that doesn't really fit what I want. And Satan says, well, how about this instead?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
Few people, as I said, come to the table with a neutral position. Have you ever heard of confirmation bias? Okay, some of you have. Confirmation bias basically just means that you are more likely to believe the things that align with what you already believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for instance, if there is a political view that you hold, and then some kind of news comes out, maybe there's a politician you already don't like, and then there is a rumor that starts, you're going to believe that rumor because you already don't like that guy.
Mm-hmm.
See, I knew it. I knew that's what he was like. Doesn't matter if there's any truth to it or not, because you don't like that guy, you're going to believe every bad thing about him.
Mm-hmm.
And if something good comes out, you're going to hold that suspect because you have a prejudice. You have a preconceived notion. You have an opinion of where you want things to land. And so you're going to be more susceptible to things that go with what you already want to happen. And so whenever the magicians came and said, hey, see, we can make snakes too. He's like, hey, that proves it. I was right. He's a fraud. He's a phony. He's just like the rest of my other guys that I've hired one. So I don't have to listen to him. I don't have to listen to his guys. Don't have to obey his God. And it let him keep doing what he already wanted to do. Also, we find that ease is another thing that makes Satan's imitations attractive, right? By and large, people are lazy. Would you agree with that? And I'll say it generally, people are lazy, because if I say you are lazy, then you're going to get offended. By and large, people are lazy. We want things to be easy. We want things to come in a way that we don't have to exert ourselves so much. And if you want proof for that, just look at some of the things that are difficult and see how many shortcuts there are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want to lose weight. That takes diet and exercise. No, that's hard. How about I just take a shot once a week? Sign me up. I saw a thing yesterday, patches. Weight loss patches. This is a new fad that's going around.
Oh, it's been forever.
Okay, well, I'm just shows how much I'm up on this stuff. And so there's all these easy things and these loopholes that people are trying to find to make things easier. And why are those things so appealing? Because people want an easy way. People are lazy. It's like, I don't want to put in the effort for this, so I'm going to do this instead.
Yeah.
Think about all the get-rich-quick schemes. These are scams, right? That are online, where people will put, if you'll just send me this much money, I'll send you this guide so that you can be wealthy. I'll teach you how to invest in real estate or how to buy single stocks or do whatever these are so that you can have all of this great wealth. Like, if you have all this great wealth, why are you trying to peddle a $9.99 PDF to me? And so anyway, people bite on this because it's like shortcut, easier. I don't have to do the work. I'll just buy into this. For Pharaoh to believe Moses, it was going to challenge his beliefs. Right?
Right.
He thought that the gods of Egypt were the real gods. And then Moses comes and he says, I serve the one true God. And all of your guys are fake. Like, I'm not willing to accept that. That's hard to change religions, right? So he's going to have to change his beliefs. He's going to have to change his kingdom because he was set up as a god over his kingdom. And if he submits to a God higher than him, then what's that going to look like to his people? It's also going to cost him his economy, because then he lets his people go. Who's going to do the work? The Egyptians don't want to go back to making brick.
Right.
They have the Hebrews to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, no, too hard, too difficult. It's a lot easier for me to just keep you here. And so I'm going to see the fake snakes, the blood that the magicians made. I'm going to see the frogs that they made, and I'm going to say, yeah, that invalidates Moses. I'm going to believe them over him. He's not really of God. I want to keep doing what I've been doing all along because it's easier. Mm-hmm. Imitations and cheap substitutes offer an easy escape route to avoid hard things.
Yes.
Shortcuts. It's a lot easier to continue in an unbiblical church or a religion than it is to get up and do something about it, to search out the truth and make sure that you align with it, right? I've told this story before, but there was a Catholic lady I talked to and was having a good conversation with her until she realized I was making too much sense. And she finally just looked at me and she said, I was born a Catholic. I've lived a Catholic. I'm going to die a Catholic. She said, I think she's like 80 some years old. She says, too late to change things now. That was her opinion. That was what she came to. She said, it would be easier just to continue in the way that I'm going than it would be to actually look into this and see if this is valid. It's easier just to stay where I'm at, so I'll just follow the invitation. It's a lot easier to adopt the world's views on dating and marriage than it is to exercise self-control.
Yeah.
Right? A lot easier to adopt their views on marriage and make it disposable so that you don't have to be committed. You don't have to work through hard things. You don't have to face difficulties. You don't have to resolve conflicts. Instead, go your separate ways. Find somebody else. Right? Rinse and repeat. Because problems come with the new one as well because you come with it.
Right.
But that's the way that the world is doing things. There's no commitment. There's no purity. There's no working together. There's no facing hard things. It's, okay, I'm going to do this as long as it is pleasurable, as long as it's fun to me. As soon as it's not, I'm going to bail and chase something else. It's a lot easier to live like the world and please the flesh. But like all of the other cheap imitations, they're not going to last long and you're not going to like the results. You ever buy a cheap knockoff and think, okay, this is going to be great, and then it tears up the first time you wear it or the first time you use it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I've got this watch, it looks really fancy, and it's 2 hours slow.
Yeah.
Now, that wasn't the result I wanted. Anyway, another thing that causes imitations to be appealing to us is our pride. Pharaoh wasn't ready to admit he was wrong or even that he wasn't God. Remember I said in their culture, Pharaoh was seen as being a god.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't honor another god. That would make him less than, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to be the one that was calling the shots. He wanted to be the one that was in control of things. And accepting the counterfeit let him hold on to that thought that he was controlling things, that feeling that he was in charge. Eve had it all in the Garden of Eden, didn't she? And then Satan came and said, hey, you don't really need God. You can be as God, knowing good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
So Eve herself was her own counterfeit.
Yeah.
Kind of like Pharaoh was, right?
Right.
Satan sold her a bill of goods and she believed it. And then look where it got us. Anyway. Essentially, an imitation is appealing if it makes us feel like we're in control or if it makes us feel like we're important. That's one of the reasons why so many religions are appealing to us. Most false religions either tell us that, okay, you are able to be good enough. You are able to do enough good works. You're able to work hard enough and feel as if you did it yourself. The Bible tells us it is by grace that we are saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so there's plenty of works-based religions that gives us something to boast about. It brings our pride into it. Either that or it reverses the roles and makes it as if you're the best thing ever and God serves you. Right? But either way, it is lifting us up in pride. Either God just loves me so much because I am so great, or I am so capable that I can work and earn it myself. Still appeals to your pride, but those are Satan's cheap knockoffs, his counterfeits. Whenever Jesus says, there's no one comes to the Father but by me, I am the only way. So we see the appeal of imitations, but what about the actions of imitations? What do they do? How do they work, right? Have you ever watched like some of the videos where they break down the common ways that scammers do things? I've seen several of those lately, and I'm not going to get into it. But there is like a script that they follow. There is a method to the way that they do to get people on the hook and then set the hook and get what they're after, mm-hmm. right? There's a way that it works. We also know the Bible says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. There is a way that the master schemer works.
Yes.
You can think of any fraud or charlatan that's seeking to deceive, a corrupt salesman. You ever deal with a corrupt salesman?
Yeah.
Went and looked at a car a while back, and the guy was really wanting to sell that car, which made me really skeptical of that car.
Yeah.
But anyway, we can find that there is a common playbook that they're using to try to reel us in. One thing that it does is it gives you what you want, or it gives you what you're wanting. Okay? That's the way that it acts. It gives you, or at least promises you, what you're wanting. This appeals to your flesh. This appeals to your base desires. Pharaoh didn't want to let the people go, and the magicians gave him a way to disregard it. Magicians came in and said, hey, you don't have to believe Moses. You don't have to do what he's saying because, look, we can do the same thing. Moses got a snake. We got a snake, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to follow him. I mentioned Eve a minute ago. Satan is, as I said, the ultimate scammer. Eve was already looking at the fruit.
Okay.
And I pointed this out lots of times. The serpent didn't get her by the arm and drag her to the tree. She was already at the tree.
Okay.
She was already considering the tree. There was already something that she was wanting. She just needed a way to give her the go-ahead to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that's how it works a lot of times in our lives, is there are things that we already desire. There's things that our heart is already lusting after. Mm-hmm. We're just needing that extra push, that extra permission, that extra excuse to go ahead and grab it. And so the serpent is glad to come and sell you and say, here's your way. Here's how you can receive what you're already wanting. This is how you can have the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
Right? Religion seeks to package itself in a way that appeals to our desire. It'll tell you, we're not dealing with sin. There's no hell. There's no punishment. There's no devil. God loves everyone. We're all the family of God. Right?
Yeah.
Jesus loves you just the way you are. Don't change a thing. Isn't that how a lot of religions work?
Yes.
Come as you are, stay as you are. You're perfect just as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Or as I said a moment ago, you can save yourself. Work harder. Do more. Prove yourself. Let everybody see what a good Christian you are. And then brag about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it lets you have what you're already wanting. Even whenever Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he says, if you will fall down and worship me, all this shall be yours.
Mm-hmm.
That's the scammer at work.
Right.
But Jesus didn't fall for it.
Right.
He says, just worship me. Just follow me. Just do things my way. And all your hopes and dreams and wishes will come true.
Yeah.
That's what he told Jesus is the way he tells you.
Yeah.
Just turn your back on God. Turn away from the things that are real. Reject the genuine. Accept the fake. And you'll have all of these things. And then you realize way too late that it was a fake.
Mm-hmm.
It was a forgery.
Yeah.
So it gives you what you want. It leaves you as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Leaves you as you are. Doesn't require anything from you. Because as I already said, we resist change. We like to be lazy. And so, if God's word comes to us and says, I want you to do these things. I want you to behave in this way. I'd be like, oh, that's hard. I don't want to do that. Satan can give you a counterfeit. That's much easier, right? That leaves you the way you are. Pharaoh liked how things were, and he believed the magicians because it let him keep things the way that they already were.
Mm-hmm.
No change needed. It's a lot easier to believe everyone else is the problem than to deal with your own problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with me. I don't need to change anything. I don't need to do anything different. It's them, right? And Satan gives you an exit, gives you permission to do what you already want to do, right? And you're willing to buy his imitation. You're willing to fall for his tricks because it gives you what you want. doesn't require anything of you. And you think, oh, this is a win-win, right? The common thing now is changing labels, okay? I don't know if you know what I mean by that, but things that God calls a sin to be repented of, Satan now offers a different choice. Now it's not a sin to be repented of. It is a condition to be accommodated. We see that all over society, right? I'm no longer a glutton. I've got an eating disorder. I want to rename it. Now, I'm not saying there's not eating disorders. This isn't one of them. This is lack of self-control is what that is. Okay? And so we can rename things and say, this is just the way I am. God created me this way. I don't have to change a thing. I'm just going to stay the way that I am. It's easier that way. Or we can do it God's way. Walk with Him and allow His Spirit to correct us and to cleanse us, to challenge us, to change us, and make us into something new. The Bible still says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. All things are become new. Right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to become new. We want to stay the way we are. And a lot of Satan's counterfeits, let us stay the way we are. It also presents itself as reasonable. Presents itself as reasonable. Have you ever seen a counterfeit or a knockoff that was so bad no one would fall for it? You're like, someone tries to pass off a fake note or something, and you look at it, and it's like, yeah, that was clearly done at home printer. It's like, that's done on copy paper from Mr. Price. I'm not falling for that. That's definitely not real money. It's a bad knockoff, right? No one's going to fall for that. But what Satan does, what this world does, is it makes it close enough to be convincing. It makes it seem as if it's reasonable. Okay? Satan's not coming in and saying, hey, why don't you just go and, you know, blow up your marriage and cheat on your wife and do all the... It's like, no, he comes in slyly selling little lies at a time. Yes. It's not an affair, it's a friend. It's reasonable, isn't it? Anyway, I'll go on. Presents itself as reasonable. Satan mixes enough truth into his lies that they seem reasonable. As I said a moment ago, Moses had a snake. The magicians had a snake. Same thing, right? Mm-hmm. So much of life isn't determining right from wrong. Most of it that you're going to have trouble with, most of it that you're going to struggle with, is determining right from almost right.
Yes.
See, if it was black and white, if it was polar opposites, no brainer, right? Mm-hmm. But what if it's just slightly off? You know, you get that note that it feels right, it looks right, but it's just, I don't know, just not quite there. Might take a chance on it.
Yeah.
You know, that watch, it says Rolex. It's actually spelled right. I think it's gold. Seems to be good quality, I think. But for €5, it's questionable.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't cost me much. Gives me what I want. But it has to appear to be right. It has to be passable.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to false teachers for very long, you're going to think, you know, they make some good points. Mm-hmm. You ever find yourself doing that? Start questioning. It's like, you know, you listen to some of these apologists online. Like, I found one guy, he's a Catholic apologist. I'm listening to him. I'm like, I can see why people fall for this. You know, seems plausible. Until you start looking a little deeper and you start comparing a little more scripture and you get a little bit beyond the tricks that he's employing. You look at some of these false religions and say, you know, they do some really good work. Or they've got some really good people that's a part of it. Then before you know it, you're in this place where it's like, well, God doesn't really care what you believe as long as you're sincere. Because look at these people. They're good people. God wouldn't send them to hell. Right? He makes his lies seem reasonable. He makes the imitations close enough to pass.
Yeah.
Satan's not going to create a religion where you go out and do complete nonsense that seems, well, some of it is, but most of it. Right?
Yeah.
Right. He's going to make it seem close enough to pass. Most imitations are made to mimic the real. It makes it so close that the untrained eye can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
So how do we spot the phonies? How can we not be duped by the fake?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In a world that keeps taking the bait and buying the rubbish that Satan is peddling, as God's children, we have to be equipped to avoid falling prey to the enemy. So we have to avoid the imitations. Okay? Have to avoid the imitations. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it tells us that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay? It means that God has equipped us. He has given us what we need if we'll utilize it.
Right.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, he has given us all we need to be what he would have us to be.
Mm-hmm.
We are equipped. We have what we need if we will take advantage of it. Someone who knows the Bible, someone who knows the book, is going to recognize it as God's word.
Yes.
They're not going to be fooled by the fakes and the phonies. We need to know God's word and we need to value it. If you want to not fall for Satan's devices and his schemes, his imitations and his phonies, we need to know what is sincere, what is true.
Mm-hmm.
I know this might be a bit cliche by now, but people who handle a lot of cash know how to spot counterfeits because they know what's genuine.
Yes.
Someone who works in a bank, they don't go and study all the counterfeits and all the different papers and all the different dyes. They handle so much volume of cash that as soon as a fake goes through their fingers, they can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
We know what's genuine because we've become acquainted with it. We get in the book, we get in his word, we know what's real, and the first time that one of Satan's imitations comes across our mind, comes across our life, we're like, nope, that does not pass the test. So if we know God's word, we won't fall for Satan's lies and forgeries. And this isn't saying if someone has enough view of scripture to be able to twist it around to justify what they want, because there are plenty of people who do that. But it's knowing God's word in context and what it says in truth, not just to back up. We're not just proof texting here. God's word tells us who God is and who we are, how we must be saved, and then how we should behave after that. And by the way, the things the word of God says is not up for debate. It's not, but God, I feel this way, or I think this way, or I think this would be better. I think I can disregard. No, God's word is our authority.
Yes.
It is what we compare all things by. It's what we, it is the test that all things must pass.
Yeah.
And so we need to know God's word. And so it's not about what do I think, it's what does the book say. Another way that we can avoid imitations is to desire God's will, not our own.
Yes.
This goes back to what I was saying a little bit ago, is a lot of the reasons these imitations are so convincing is because we want to believe them. Because they further our agenda, they give us what we want, so we buy them up. But if we value God's word above ours, if we value his will before our own, these things are not going to be even a temptation to us.
Yeah.
There's an old saying that there is none so blind as those who would not see. And I think a lot of people refuse to believe God's word, refuse to follow God, not because they don't believe it, not because it's not convincing, but because they don't want it. They have their own will, they have their own desire, so they're going to accept the imitations that allow them to pursue those. And so whenever we recognize what God's will is for us, when we get in the will of God, we're not going to fall for the things that get us out of it. And this isn't like some difficult thing to try to determine. We're not out there trying to find the will of God. If we're in the Word of God, we're going to know a lot about the will of God.
Yes.
For instance, okay, it's the will of God for me to be married to her. You say, how do you know that's God's will? 'Cause I'm married to her. You say, what if you married the wrong one? Is now God's will for me to be married to her? Because I have committed before God and man that I'm going to love her and honor her, cherish her, till death do us part. It is God's will for me to be married to her. So you know what's not God's will? anything that's going to harm that marriage. Right? Mm-hmm. Satan's imitations come along that's going to cause problems in that marriage. It's not God's will. It's a forgery, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's God's will for me to parent my children. Train them up in the way they should go. If there's something that comes along that is going to hinder that work, then I better get away from it. It's a lie from Satan. Does that make sense? I know for a fact that it's God's will for me to be here in Ireland right now. He's called me here. He's placed me here. I know this is the will of God. And so you know what? It's not tempting whenever if someone would offer and say, hey, come back to the States. We've got a church for your pastor. No, God put me here. I'm not going to entertain that. Got something else for you to do. I'm going to leave this. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to do something else. No, this is where God has me for right now. And until he moves me, I'm going to be here. So I know the will of God. And so I'm going to keep doing this, and Satan's going to throw things at me to try to get me off course. I'll say, no, that does not line up with what God's already showed me. Then the third thing that we find here in not falling for the imitations is we have to use discernment. We have to use discernment. And that might seem complicated, might sound hard, but it simply means that we need to stop and evaluate, consider just a little bit. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, right? Mm-hmm. To be circumspect, walking circumspectly means you're paying attention.
Right.
Satan starts throwing his rubbish at you and you're like, no, that doesn't pass the test. I'm going to evaluate it by scripture. I'm going to evaluate it by the will of God. I'm going to see, does this align with God's character? Does this align with what God has revealed to me? Does this align with what I know about God? Is this going to help or hinder my walk with him? And so we are discerning. We are paying attention. We're not rushing forward mindlessly, but instead we want to make sure that we're not going against biblical principles. We're not going against what God's already revealed to us. We're not going to harm our relationship with him. That's discernment. You can apply these things to teachers and preachers you hear, to churches you attend. You can apply them to social and cultural issues, right? Because Satan's going to put plenty of fakes before you. You can apply them to all the decisions you make. Okay, is this of God or is it not? Is this what God would have me to do, or is it something that's going to knock me off course? God has something good, and Satan always has counterfeits. And so are you going to get the real and the genuine, or are you going to settle for a cheap imitation?
Yeah.
You follow after the cheap imitation, you won't be glad. You won't be happy with it. It might say you can stay as you are. It doesn't require anything of you. It's going to give you what you want, but you're not going to want what it gives you. It's not going to make your life easier, even though it says it will. Definitely not going to lead you any closer to God.
Yeah.
See, every time that God's got something for you, Satan is going to send you something to knock you off course.
Yeah.
He's going to send you something to deceive you because he is a deceiver.
Yeah.
There are plenty of imitations out there. And so as you're going along trying to pursue after God, as you're trying to follow him and do what he would have you to do, beware of imitations.
Yeah.
Don't fall for the cheap knockoffs. Don't go after the things that's going to destroy your life and ruin it, even if it presents itself as the answer to all your prayers.
Right.
Because a lot of times it does. Mm-hmm. Satan is a deceiver. He makes cheap imitations. Don't fall for him.
Mm-hmm.
Be in the book. Be seeking God's will. Be discerning about the things that you come in contact with. And don't be a victim of his scams. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Just thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you for this passage that we have here before us today, Lord, and the example that we are given, Lord. We know that Satan is a great deceiver, that this world presents us with all sorts of things that would lead us astray and deceive us, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, help us to be walking with you constantly in your word and seeking your will, Lord, that we may be able to avoid all these temptations, all these imitations, Lord. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that don't know you as their Savior, if they have fallen for an imitation, if they have been led astray by a counterfeit, Lord, may they come to you by faith. Lord, may they be saved according to your word, not trusting in religion, not trusting in tradition, not trusting in ceremony, but trusting in your finished work on the cross as the only means to have their sins forgiven and their eternity secured. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, and amen.
Amen.